Hallelujah. Good to see everyone. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And just so you know, just a few things as we go forward with these services. The regulations now are children 6 and over can be with us. And so children that are not in children's church, you're here. Welcome. Welcome to Big Church. We'll try to not make it boring for you. But literally, we just don't have any place for kids right now and to ensure social distance. So children 6 and over are welcome to be in Big Church. But how many of you remember going to Big Church your whole life as a child? There was nothing like children's church, all right? That's why some of us backslid for a season, all right? Just kidding, all right? But you are welcome, and then the upper limit is 70. All right, so if you're 70 over, we need to be online. So we are live streaming right now, and so welcome to America Life, folks. You're at home. Maybe you've got small kids, but so from 8 to 9, that is still an option. But please note that families, we've got a couple sections. If you didn't know about it, but I can see a lot of people did know. If you're coming with people in your home in a family, then you can sit in twos together in a couple sections that we have spaced for you. Okay? So, and as Pastor Benjamin said, masks on nose and mouth, and that is how we're going to honor and bless our neighbor. All right? And if the ushers will help you to remember that. Okay, that's by coming on the grounds, then we've all agreed to that. All right, so we'll do this for whatever season we need to and still be able to stay safe and love Jesus. Amen? All right, so thank you for that. Please note, many of you have not been on campus in a while, but you've probably seen the incredible progress of the buildings, and it has been amazing. And so we are so thankful for the team building campaign and building committee and all the great work that's happening. At the end of this month, just be kind of ready, be prepared. So the 29th of November, we're going to have a big Sunday, and we are going to come with a special offering, and we're going to finish strong in Jesus' name for the building. So you might just want to be thinking, praying about that as we finish real strong. All right. Is everybody good? Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We want to share something for the month of November and into December. That it's a phrase that we see here in Philippians chapter 3, that's in verse 12. And Paul makes this statement. He says, I press on. I press on. And I think we've all faced challenges this year. Everyone has faced challenges. And some have been really significant. And I see some of your faces, and I know some of what you've had to face this year. And when we have faced challenges, or just the world that's going around us, I don't live in America anymore, but I think yesterday America had the highest number of COVID cases since we began. So it's like everything that they've done up to this point didn't work. We could say a lot about America, but we won't. So Paul, when he was writing this, I press on. Paul was writing from prison. Now, none of us are in prison. I know some of you feel like wearing a mask in church is prison-like conditions. And I could concur with you. All right. But Paul was able to say in prison, I press on. Meaning that the circumstances around me are not going to stop me from going forward in Jesus. And we're going to look at this from a number of different angles during this time, that God will help us individually and corporately as his church, that we're going to press on. The other thing that's amazing about the book of Philippians, and we're going to focus just on chapter 3, is that of all of Paul's writings, it is the most joyful. And it uses that word rejoice or joy repeatedly, and just the tone of his language. And other times Paul is stern and needs to say some straight stuff with people. And this one is just so full of joy. So Paul says, I'm going to press on, and writes a joyful letter while in prison. How many of you would write a joyful song or a joyful poem in prison? All right. But see, Paul had a different source than his circumstances. And folks, we can have a different source of joy and of perseverance than from the headlines in the newspaper. All right. And it's from Jesus Christ. So, in fact, while he's in prison, he wrote four epistles, the prison epistles, as we know them. So it is amazing what God helped him not just to accomplish, but what happened in his heart during a very, very challenging season of his life. All right. So individually and as Miracle Life and as the Church of Jesus Christ, we will press on in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And I'm just very, very proud of this church that we have pressed on. And it's been a while since we've been together. And it is still challenging, and it may still be challenging as we go forward. But since all this has happened in COVID, how many of Miracle Life did not miss one payment to the contractor? We did not miss one donation to all of the ministries and missionaries that we support. It's over 23 every single month consistently. We did it in Jesus' name. Amen. We were not late for payroll during this entire season because of you. All right. And so there's a lot of things that we're going to keep pressing on. And there was ministry that took place. A lot of some really, really challenging funerals. And you, the people of God and connection groups sacrificed and loved people during very, very tough times. So we're going to go through this chapter. Different pastors are going to take different points and perspectives, but this one is kind of the introduction to before he gets to the press on part. All right, so let's read in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. Paul says, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." I don't know if you've had times where it felt more challenging to rejoice. See, Paul had a lot of practice rejoicing. You remember when he and his ministry companion Silas, they found themselves in the middle of a jail and actually in Philippi, and their backs were scourged. And at midnight hour, they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. All right, they didn't do it under their breath. And so whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil. Wait a second. Was that Holy Spirit inspired to call people dogs? Okay, not saying to do that. I am saying it did happen here. All right. For those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say to you, you must be circumcised to be saved. Same group of people that he was, really the entire book of Galatians was about, these dogs, these mutilators, these legalistic Jewish folks that were telling Gentiles that you had to go back under the law to be saved. And boy, that riled up Paul quick. All right. Verse 3, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could, Indeed, if others have a reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have more. Okay, so the idea of putting Gentiles back under the law was that Jesus is not enough. For your salvation and your continual sanctification, you can't rely on Jesus to do it and fully trust in him, because that's how we get saved, is our faith and his grace come together on the same day, amen, and we are born again, we're saved, and so we are to continue trusting him for his power. And so Paul is saying, if they want you to go back and make this about your flesh and your efforts, if any would have a reason to be confident in their flesh and in their efforts, it's me. It's Paul. And then he does a brief CV of why he would have reason to have confidence in the flesh. Now, most of us were not raised Jewish, so some of these things that he's going to be bragging about, but if you were Jewish, this is a big reason to be proud. And here he goes in verse 5. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Well, why the eighth day? Well, that's what the law says, all right? I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. Pure blood. Son of the soil, right? And a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there was ever one. Okay, so what this part of his CV is based on his ethnic upbringing. All right, how many of you know if you got circumcised on the eighth day, you can't brag about that? Someone did that for you. All right, so this was, I was born into an awesome family. I have an incredible ethnic heritage that gives me credence among a lot of people. All right. So this was just the fact that I was born in the right family and some people would look up to me. All right. But then he transitions to say, not only did I get born with a Jewish silver spoon in my mouth, but I did some awesome stuff as a Jewish person. All right. So what did he do? I was a member of the Pharisees. That doesn't happen by birth. You've got to earn your way in to the club of the Pharisees. You've got to be super Jew. All right. Super law obeyer to be given that card. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. In fact, they would take the law and go higher. It wasn't good enough. They would go above and beyond. Okay. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. All right. So he's saying, if we want to brag, don't bring your bragging to Paul, because I'll beat you. I'll beat you with what my parents gave me, and I'll beat you with what I continued in my own efforts. All right. Now notice what he says, because in the Jewish mind, What he just said is, boy, you are incredible and you are awesome. But notice what he says here in verse 7. He said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared. Say that out loud. Say compared. I know that's muffled, but it's still good to hear your voice. All right. When compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, discounting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. All right. So things that Paul and other people considered very valuable, considered very important. All right. And there, you know, there are societies around the world that when you say your surname, or you say who your parents are, or you talk about your lineage, people will treat you differently. People will look at you differently. I mean, it gets you entry into certain places. I remember sometime way, way back in our church life, where a church member came to see me. We were just chatting about something in their life. I think it was in their professional life. They just told me their first name. And then on their way out, then they just gave me their business card. And I looked at their surname. And if I said their surname, we'd all go, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Any relation?" And they told me the relation was quite close. So if that was you and that was your card, just that card with that name could get you in a lot of places in life. Okay? So people all around the world, there's certain things that are deemed really important because of maybe how you were raised and what happened. But then there's a whole nother group. It's maybe that's not the big deal. It's what you've accomplished. It's what you've accomplished. And in some circles, maybe it's your education. And boy, education is important. And it is needed. And get all of the education you need to be a blessing to the world. Get all the education you need to fulfill the will of God in your life. Because it's good. And it'll make you sharper and smarter. And it'll certainly help you. All right. So Miracle Life is not anti-education. But on the same time, just having an academic pedigree doesn't make you important. It's like the pastor in South Africa that was given two honorary doctorates. I'm not lying about this. And when you introduce him at your conference, you need to introduce him as Dr. Doctor. And he only finished grade 8. But we're going to introduce him as Dr. Doctor. Okay. So that's someone who believes, man, that's important. Paul says this. And I think you could argue that God did use Paul's education to help him write the Bible. Okay. He had an incredible mind. All right. So there were these things that Paul accomplished. But he said this. He said, "I once thought that these things were valuable. I thought they were valuable, but now I consider them worthless, garbage, something to throw away." The literal word is dung, all right? And so how does someone make such a radical change? I don't know if you've ever had in your life where you think something or someone or whatever is incredibly valuable, and now you attribute it the same monetary value as a piece of garbage, which would be nothing. So Paul had this incredible shift, all right? What caused this? What caused this? All right. Well, let's go back to the text, because it says right here, he said, "I once thought these things were valuable," verse 7, "but now I consider them worthless because," there's a reason, because of what Christ has done. And could I suggest to us that when our value system is wrong, it's because we don't have in our hearts and our minds at that moment what Jesus has done and who Jesus is. We've lost sight of him. And there are other things that have changed and pulled or twisted our heart. And so when he says, because of what Christ has done, all right, and we can go to a number of different places to see, what has Christ done? But Paul did an excellent summary in chapter 2. So just kind of flip your page back to Philippians chapter 2. Many would say that this, it's a poem. It became a song that was sung. Some would say it's a New Testament psalm. But it's probably the key point of the entire book of Philippians. And what he does is summarize who Jesus is and what he did. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. "Though he was God," Jesus, "he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges." He didn't stop being God. He gave up his divine privileges, he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. This was the incarnation, but for the second person of the Trinity, this was also humiliation. Humiliation. You know, sometimes we get encouraged when we see like I think the president of Tanzania, sometimes he flies coach, right? And we're like, wow, that's awesome. He's flown coach before. It's not like he's dying or anything. But it's like, you know, oh, wow, he's humiliated. But no, this is God, the creator, Jesus. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created us. It made us from the dust of the earth. And Jesus became one of us. He had to go to sleep. He got hungry. He limited himself to a human body. That's what he did. And so when Paul is thinking of all these things that people brag about, but when I think about Jesus, oh, that's just garbage. I haven't accomplished anything compared to what Jesus did. Now, that's not all that he did. He just didn't become a human being. He appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death on a cross. And this text brings it out so wonderfully. A criminal's death, and the cross was meant to humiliate you. We don't have any factual thing in the Gospels, but what we know from history is everyone that was crucified by the Romans, they stripped them stark naked. That was more than likely the way Jesus died. Jesus, the Son of God, he did that. All right? But I'm so glad it doesn't stop there. Amen. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The men who stripped him bowed to him, either willingly by getting saved, or when they died, they recognized him as Savior and Lord, and then were separated from him. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh my goodness. And so, he says, when I think of this, when I know what Jesus has done, all right, then Paul says this, everything is worthless. Everything is worthless when compared. And so what I'd ask you to do as we leave today, eventually, and we forgot to mention this, but we are going to keep our services abbreviated, shortened. We do know we've got 6 and 7 year old kids with us. We also know it's just going to help keep us safer. All right. And so we so appreciate that the government has given us 2 hours, but we're not going to take the full 2 hours. Okay. I know that's amazing for us Pentecostals to do, but it's for the safety of everybody. All right. And maybe we'll add to it as we go. All right. But he said everything was worthless when compared. And I know we probably all have a value battle that we face in our lifetime and at different seasons of our life. Okay. What we see is that God, because of salvation and because of what we believe about Jesus and the gospel, God wants to alter our value system. And what God doesn't want to do is for us just to become Christians and for us to use Jesus to somehow try to bless our broken value system. Amen. That it would remain unchanged. All right. So people are still sometimes, even in the kingdom, what Paul said, that my background is a really big deal to me. All right. I don't know. And I understand. And certainly God may use people who have a certain background, or they're linked to royalty. All right. But have you ever met people that pretty much in the first 15 seconds of you meeting them, they're going to bring up that they're linked to royalty? Like 15 generations, eighth cousin on my mother's sister's auntie's friend's Facebook friend's side, I'm linked to royalty. But they just have to bring it up so fast, right? It's a value system. When compared to Jesus, it's garbage. Now, don't tell them that, but let it affect your value system. Let it affect your value system. Okay? So God wants this to change the way we think. All right. So Jesus puts everything into perspective. All right. And so maybe we were born into a situation where we could say there's privilege or honor. Okay. Well, guess what? Now, because of Jesus, we're going to use it for his purposes, not for selfish reasons, not to abuse other people, not to trample on the disadvantaged. Amen. We'll use that position to lift other people, to make a difference. All right. Maybe like Paul's accomplishments, and maybe you have had some wonderful accomplishments. All right. Maybe in your education or professional life. And so it's brought privilege or finances or something into your life. All right. Well, because of Jesus, now I don't use Jesus pixie dust just to so I can have use my money selfishly. Now I'm going to look at it differently. I'm going to look at it differently. First of all, I'm going to look at it and say, man, this is, thank God for this blessing, but boy, it's dangerous. I don't want to let it corrupt my heart. I don't want to let covetousness get a hold of me. All right. I'm going to help it. I'm going to use that to help me do God's will. All right. I was just thinking when I was looking at this verse, when we started doing pastors conferences in Zambia, there was a time we had a vehicle that if we were going to Northern Province, if we go to Mansa, I mean, by the time we got to Kampiri and Poshi, it was overheating. So we'd roll down the windows, turn on the heat, add water. I mean, it was a nightmare of a car. I don't know if you've ever had a car like that. All right. Some of you are saying, yeah, it's right there. I can point it to you, you know. And so it was, but it's what we could afford at the time. And so it was hard to do the will of God. It was harder to do the will of God. All right. And then there was another vehicle after that. And it was like, oh, man, Lord, thank you so much for the extra money to get a car that doesn't overheat and correct the radiator and the heads and all that jazz. All right. Simply, now it's easier to do the will of God. Hallelujah. All right. And so that may you see it differently. And then that, Lord, I can use this money to help other people. I can use this money to send missionaries. I can use this money to support orphans. I can use this money to build a chapel at my church. All right. So our value system changes like Paul's did when we compare it to who Jesus is and what he did for us. Then he goes on in verse 8. He goes on in verse 8, and there's something else, not just what Jesus did in verse 7. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I know I'm preaching to people who came to church to wear a mask in the heat of November. All right. So evidently you probably know the value of knowing Jesus. All right. And it's something that is important to you. All right. But I don't know if COVID did this to you, but I know for me, it kind of did. Is that it for some of us, it exposed some of our value systems. Okay. When COVID hit and they canceled all sports, You know, I know some men were shaking because they couldn't go to the bar. But I, you know, on the weekends, I would just kind of wander around the house like, what's happening? What's going on? And it was like a nightmare that just kept going and going, you know? And then they started playing football with empty stadiums, and it's like, this is wonderful. Come on, man, help me out here, all right? Am I the only guy? All right. But after the shock, what I did realize was, oh, I guess you can live without sports. It's been like 40 years, but I guess I really can do this, all right? And I don't know if that did to you, or certain foods, or certain ways that we lived, all right? Compared to what? Knowing Jesus. Paul said in another place, he said, you know, the Word of God cannot be chained. The Word of God cannot be masked. The Word of God cannot be minimized. And I hope that for some of you, and I have heard from some of you, that this season has been an enriching time with Jesus. And you've actually grown in the Lord and grown to love your family, okay? And thank God for that. God's indescribable gift, all right? So, when compared. And so, I want us to think like Paul, and that when we consider who Jesus is and what he did for us, we take that knowledge into every situation, every relationship in our life, every tough situation, and we allow it to affect the way that we think. And I really believe that this is at the center of why Paul is going to say a few verses later, you know what? I press on. I press on. And there is a determination that he has. And whether this season has been enriching for you or it has been devastating for you, may we make a determination as God's people, and let's stick together and let's do this together in all the areas of our life. May God enable us to press on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your help, for your faithfulness. Lord, as we sang today, great, great is your faithfulness. From the rising sun to the setting of the same. Lord, thank you that you have sustained us. Father, Lord, we pray that, Lord, where there has been physical or financial or emotional or family damage or bruising or hurts or harm, Father, we pray that you would bring healing to every situation, to every family, to every heart in this place. God, thank you that you are also the God who restores. You are the God who rebuilds and mends and helps. And Father God, we thank you that you will and shall do that in each life. In Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you heard, and you heard from God today that God sent his Son for you, and that Son was literally humiliated for you. It was on purpose. It happened exactly to the design of God. And what motivated him? For God so loved the world. And even though we have failed him, even though we have sinned, God wants you. God wants you in his family. God wants you restored. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you're not a part of the family of God, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say yes to Jesus Christ. If you're far from God, if you've backslidden, come home today. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, wherever you are, if that's you and you're saying, I'm going to receive Jesus, I'm going to make him my Lord and Savior today, just lift up your hand real, real high. Just lift it up high. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't know Jesus. Hallelujah. Over there, over there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, ma'am. All right, all right. We're going to pray that prayer. We're going to invite Jesus into our heart today. And here's what I'd ask you to do. If you lifted up your hand, what I'd ask you to just stand where you are right now, wherever you are, just go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm so glad that Jesus died publicly for us. Amen. Just go ahead and stand to your feet. And then I'm asking you to do one more thing. Just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. And can't shake your hand today, but I'm going to give you an air high five. And we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. Amen. Just give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. It's right here, buddy. Wonderful, wonderful. Just come. And let's just do this. Let's just lift up one of our hands towards heaven. You ready? Let's pray this to Jesus. Say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Thank you that you died for me. You were raised from the dead, and I now receive you as my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sin. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Oh, what a wonderful day. Your name is written in heaven. Now, if you would follow Mr. Masonda here, we want to give you a book. And we want to just make sure things are okay with you and God. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to do things a little differently just to kind of keep us safe. Passing offering buckets is not a great idea these days. All right. So we'll be receiving the offering at the end of every service. All right. And so at the end of every service, on our way out, there'll be baskets. And so you don't have to worry about sharing your neighbor's germs on the bucket. All right. So that'll be a great blessing. So the very, very same book of Philippians, kind of what triggered this. One of the things that triggered that book was that the Philippians had sent Paul a missionary offering to help him to spread the gospel. And so part of the book of Philippians is actually a joyful thank you note. And he begins to describe some of that in the fourth chapter. And he says this. He said, Philippians 4 verse 15, he said, you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. And what a wonderful commendation for an entire church that they were consistent in their giving. Consistent in their priorities of wanting to see the gospel spread. And so we invite you in your giving, whether again, you've had a paycheck, thank God. I know a few businesses have gone up, many, many businesses have gone down, but whatever the situation is, that we would be consistent with whatever God has brought into our life. Amen. Because we care about the gospel. We care about people. So we're going to pray over the offering. And so as we are dismissed, we'll make our way out. And I believe the ushers are helping us. Am I right? We're going to be dismissing from the front, ushers. I think that's the plan. From the back. Okay, so just be aware, kind of stay in your seats until the ushers so that we're not crowded in the aisles. It's hard to do social distancing that way. All right. But also, as we are dismissed, as we're preparing our offering, we're going to pray. Also realize that we have our care team. Welcome back physically to the care team. All right. These folks didn't stop caring while we were online. And they were busy praying and ministering to people. Among a lot of folks were doing that. But if you need prayer, Please come. And as we're dismissed, just come forward. They'll pray for you. Please do be aware. Again, we want to just keep everybody safe. If you feel like, boy, I really need some extended counseling, that is available for you. It's just not available this morning. Okay, and you can let one of the care team people know, hey, I need a book to see somebody because we've got to really talk about some stuff. All right. Oh, yes. And for those of you watching online, there are people ready to care for you. There are ready people that will be ready for you. So on your screen are phone numbers. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, let people know. But please, we know sometimes it might take some initiative, but let us know because we want to help and reach out to you. You're important to God. All right. Only forgot one thing. That's pretty good. The Lord is good. Amen. I had a birthday while we were gone, so that forgetfulness is with us. Hallelujah. Amen, my wife of my youth. All right. I need her to forget on the same pace that I'm forgetting. All right, but that's not happening. I love you, sweetie. Love you so much. Okay. All right. So why don't we not stand, but let's close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Thank you for your mercy that endures forever. God, the world is changing. Lord, the world has changed. You remain the same. You are God immutable. Father, and thank you for your consistency in our life. And Father, thank you that we will continue to trust you. Lord, any surprises that will come up in the next few months, Lord, we'll continue to trust you. Father, thank you that we have the family of God Universal and, Father, the family of God here at Miracle Life, that we can care and love and connect with each other. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. You are dismissed. Again, you can go ahead and give your offering on your way out. God bless you.